Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Governor Charlie Baker gives his third State of the Commonwealth address tonight. And this year, he's providing his vision for Massachusetts ahead of his own re-election bid and national midterm elections. Now, WBUR will be providing complete coverage of the governor's speech tonight beginning at 7 p.m., so hope you tune in for that. But right now, let's take a look at the goals Baker set for the Commonwealth in his 2017 address and whether he hit them. Joining us to help us do that is Ed Lyons. He's a Massachusetts Republican activist, political writer, and co-host of the Lincoln Review podcast. Ed, it's good to see you again.
It's good to be back. Thank you.
Also with us is Tiziana Deering, co-director of the Center for Social Innovation at Boston College. She's also a member of WBUR's Executive Advisory Board. Tiziana, it's good to see you as well.
Thanks. Good to be here.
So first of all, just give me your quick takes. We'll talk about what we might you might hope to hear the governor say tonight. Ed, you're going, right?
Oh, yeah.
You're
going
to be there. Okay. So we'll talk about that in a minute. But give us your quick take in terms of how Baker did in 2017. Ed, you first.
I think it was a great year for the governor, and I think it was another great year for Massachusetts politics. I think we have productive bipartisan government. I think Charlie Baker is the linchpin of a system that we can be proud of, and especially as many of us are not proud of our national politics, I think it's great that we have such good state politics.
So a very rosy assessment there. Tiziana, do you share that?
I think it was a really competent year with a strong economy and a lot of focus on some things that are really hurting the Commonwealth, like the opioid crisis. If you want to know who I'm a fan and cheerleader of, it's the head of the Executive Office of Health and Human Services, Mary Lou Sutters. I think she was a strong appointment and has kept her eye on the ball on some key things like Department of Children and Families, addiction, et cetera. Yeah. And I think it's a hard year for individual peoples and a strong year for the economy.
So let's talk about what the governor said last year regarding the opioid crisis. Here's what he said at the 2017 State of the Commonwealth.
Now, we all know, especially here in this room, the opioid epidemic is ravaging individuals and families across this country. And while this is going to be a prolonged battle, our efforts are making a difference. We know that 4 out of 5 heroin users first become addicted through prescription drugs. And we're seeing results from our efforts to close this front door to addiction.
So that's Governor Charlie Baker last year. And in fact, when you look at the state's numbers, right, from November 2017, and you compare the first 9 months of 2016 to the first 9 months of 2017, overdose deaths dropped 10% here. But it's obviously still an ongoing problem. So actually, Tiziana, since you brought it, let me start with you. What more would you like to hear and see Charlie Baker do in 2018?
Well, I think we have to both continue to focus on recovery beds and treatment. It's hard to fund. It's hard to build capacity. But this is like the flu pandemic meets cancer meets crack, right? It's an insanely invasive and addictive substance that's going to continue to drive people to need real treatment. And we're going to have to continue to grow beds and services to help people break the addiction and find ways to try to stay clean.
Hmm. I mean, Ed, the governor was also on the presidential panel, the opioid panel as well. So he has had an opportunity to have his say and bring his expertise to the national level. Is there room for even more of that in 2018?
I have no sense of the fact that this current administration is really interested in what Charlie Baker has to say about that, despite the fact that they really should listen to him as, you know, somebody who's both the Republican and as somebody who cares about this and is working hard to improve the situation in Massachusetts. Of course, I imagine he would offer his opinion wherever it is offered. Other states are dealing with this. He has spoken to other governors that I am happy that he's being an evangelist because, you know, drug addiction doesn't know where state lines are, that it's in everyone's interest that the rest of the country begin solving this problem, too.
Tiziana?
You know, in time of political gridlock, often we need to go to cities and states to find policy solutions and make progress. And the opioid crisis is one of those places where governors across the United States have a particular role to play. And if Governor Baker can be joining forces with John Kasich, for example, out of Ohio, where they are ravaged by addiction, and create state-level solutions, that can really become a model for the country. And I think it's something that the states are going to have to treat as a priority because we're not going to get that at the national level.
So I want to switch gears here a little bit and talk about something else that the governor promised in his 2017 address. He talked about Bridgewater State Hospital specifically, and he proposed moving corrections officers out of the hospital and also funding Bridgewater more significantly and changing how treatment is done there. He did all of those things. He gets a win on that. I mean, that's one of the unmitigated successes of 2017, Ed.
Yeah, I mean, it's a classic situation where there is an area that everybody wanted to get better. Everybody knew there was a problem, but solving it was complicated. He managed to get the corrections officers on board by promising there would be no reduction in staff. He managed to secure funding for it. Governor Patrick, in the last year of his administration, tried to propose reforms, but the legislature, for who knows what reason, didn't want to do them. And Baker came in and just solved it. He put experts in healthcare in there and turned it more into a treatment place than sort of a prison. And there's a huge win for Governor Baker, and is the kind of social justice work that he doesn't get enough credit for.
Tiziana, your thoughts?
Yeah, I think actually the Commonwealth of Massachusetts is, all things considered, is doing very well on mental health and addiction. It's a huge relief to see things better at Bridgewater State. Again, I think that runs deeper than just the governor and down into his administration, and a lot of very dedicated life career administrators who are solving administrative problems. And I find that one to be quite encouraging.
Yeah, so he knows how to hire good people in these sectors.
That's right.
And I absolutely give the governor a ton of credit for, you can tell when he really cares about certain issues and he has very specific proposals for them. He does what he can to follow up on them. And a lot of times it's really successful. I would say there's other policy areas where he has had that same passion and that same specificity, but hasn't been as successful. I'll turn to education on that front. Last year in his State of the Commonwealth address, he did once again say Massachusetts overall is doing pretty well in education. Here's what he said.
Thanks to the hard work of state and local officials, teachers and parents, our students are number one in the nation in both math and reading for the sixth straight year.
But in the same speech, he also talked about he wanted to open more so-called empowerment zones, right? There's one in Springfield, and it's where middle schools and high schools, they're working together with slightly more autonomy. And the governor said, to assist struggling schools, we will work with Representative Peisch and Senator Lesser and their colleagues in the House and Senate to create more empowerment zones. We can't find any evidence that any more were created, Ed. So that's something.
I think you should call the teachers unions. I think they were the reason why we didn't get any. And I think Senator Lesser was surprised to discover how unpopular his proposal was when he got a call from the unions.
So why is it that the unions get the blame for that, and Governor Baker doesn't get any blame for or hold more responsibility for not pushing his agenda with greater
agreed.
Effectiveness?
There are all kinds of areas where Governor Baker has wanted something that didn't happen. He wanted the state legislature to embrace cost reforms at MassHealth, and they said no. Does he deserve some blame for that? Sure. It's his job to persuade people to do things. So, you know, I just think there's a lot of issues like this, whether it's DCF, whether it's MassIT, whether it's MBTA. There is a union involved, and they have to be brought on board in order to get things done. And when that doesn't happen, then the reform doesn't happen. We see that all the time.
Tiziana?
So as someone who's a little more in favor, perhaps, of collective bargaining, I would say that usually when two groups come to the table and you go don't get a deal, there's something going on with each group. I think the governor in this particular case probably hamstrung himself to some extent by his very strong outreach about charter schools, about the ballot question on charters, et cetera, which is sort of like, you know, lighting a little bit of a bomb right in the middle of what you're trying to do. Now, at the same time, I think disparity in school performance, which is the issue for the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, do things like your race and socioeconomic status determine what kind of school you go to? That's also a local issue, and we have to work heavily with cities and towns. But there's a lot more that we could do to bring people to the table and keep them at the table negotiating on this. And sooner or later, we're going to have to do that. I mean, we're at 25 years of people on the two sides of the table saying, well, it's the other one's fault.
Okay, so let me ask you about that. Because Governor, Ed, I'm going to turn back to you. Because Governor Baker clearly has an expertise and excels in technocratic type fixes. But I think Tiziana is pointing something out that's quite important. Like, like it or not, there are lots of groups at the table for major issues in Massachusetts who, you know, are very dug in on their positions. What more can or should the governor do? Is he capable of fostering more negotiation between these groups?
He's just the governor. I mean, he's not the king. I mean, you know, as a Republican, I say, you know, he's just the executive. We have legislature. We have lots of wonderful nonprofit groups that are involved. There's individual citizens can get involved. There's local involvement. I don't think that Troy Baker should be held accountable to sort of solve every problem. He can't and should not do everything. I don't think it's all up to him. That doesn't mean he shouldn't work to persuade people to accept compromises, but I don't think it's necessarily his job to make everything work.
I'm pausing there because I think that what you said is a realistic assessment of the limits of public office. But on the other hand, he's the chief executive for the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. Perhaps he could provide a greater vision that brings everybody on board in a more effective way. Is that something that perhaps the governor could do?
Well, we're going to have this discussion for an entire year about Governor Baker's lack of vision.
Yes, we are going to have this discussion.
I mean that literally. Are you going to have me in front of a microphone here 2 months now saying, you know, he's taking, you know, hits on the vision thing. And I imagine Steady Worm will talk about nothing else for several months than the vision thing. So I don't mind bringing that up now if you want. But, you know.
Well, it's an interesting conversation in the evolution of leadership. And you know, I get it's January 2018, but I'm going to go out on a limb and suggest that Charlie Baker is going to have a second term. All right. So as we think about the evolution of a leader, when one demonstrates, has a vision of and demonstrates management competence, which I think you can argue the governor has done in his first term, you might want to see someone reach for the next stage of leadership in their second term. And investment in things like strong track to diplomacy, a unifying vision, more team members who are charismatic, use their social connections and relationships to bring new and creative groups to the table, would be a good chapter two. And it's not too early to be thinking about such a chapter two. I don't think all of that can happen in 2018. But some move in that direction, I think, is the evolution of leadership in general.
So I want to talk about this more in a slightly different way. Because, again, I went back and re-listened to and read the governor's speech, State of the Commonwealth speech last year. And in terms of identifiable goals, vision, whatever you want to call it. I mean, we talked about empowerment zones. He talked about forming a council on older adults. He wanted to increase state support for municipal health spending, invest more in the Commonwealth's infrastructure. Sadly, on that point, that's a decades-long problem.
He announced a new commission today, actually, on the future of transportation.
Yeah, we still get a D+, though, in the infrastructure report card. Bridgewater State, we talked about all these things. But I don't know. Ed, you're going to roll your eyes at this, but I still hunger for Charlie Baker, man of vision. And here's from last year's speech, as close as I think that he got.
Our Commonwealth is strong because we listen and we learn from one another, knowing that our goodwill can make our disagreements a catalyst for better ideas and real results. Now, our team looks forward to working with you in the challenges and opportunities of the next 2 years. We will advocate, we will engage, we will learn from you and others, and we will be better for it.
Now, I appreciated this part because, I mean, a call for civil governance, we need that more than ever in the United States now. But here's why I'm bringing all this up. This is my giant prelude to what I'm about to say. Charlie Baker is the most popular governor in the country right now. He's possibly the most popular Republican in the country. Very smart.
It's easier now.
Hugely capable. obviously, also an ambitious person. I mean, he seems to be perfectly set up to provide a moderate, centrist Republican vision. I'm going to keep using that word. That can bring tons of people on board, and yet I don't see him making that reach.
You mean the monorail to Springfield?
But why not? You're laughing, but I'm serious. I feel like the GOP, America needs Charlie Baker to be more, I don't know, rah-rah, to provide a great vision for what he thinks the future of the country should be. Why not?
You know, as somebody who had to bring 3 small children to a registry location in Revere about a month ago, where I didn't have to lose an entire day with a toddler in my arms squirming around because he reformed the RMVs, you know, good governance is better than you think it is. So, you know,
it's vitally important. I'll give you that.
I just think that he is open to ideas. Ask any transit nerd whether they feel more plugged into the MBTA now than they did 4 years ago. I know the Transit Matters people and all them, they're all pleased the fact that they feel like they're being listened to because things they advocate are actually becoming policy at the MBTA. They're much more open to outside ideas and specialist groups than they were before. I think that's the same case in healthcare, too. I get the feeling that Secretary Sutter's is also open to input from the community. So I do think there is more collaboration than you read about in the Boston Globe. But it is true. Governor Baker has not had this defining moment like we're going to build the North-South rail line. Yeah. No huge project.
Or this is who we are as a Commonwealth.
He's got tons of political capital. He could do this.
Well, it's really interesting. I also find myself thinking, he's fortunate that he is running in 2018 and not 2020, because I'm not sure he could dodge the call to be a Republican voice at the national level in a 2020 election the way I think he's going to be able to in a 2018.
Well, Tiziana Dehring, co-director of the Center for Social Innovation at Boston College and a member of WBR's Executive Advisory Board, it's always great to have you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And Ed Lyons, Republican activist and political writer and co-host of the Lincoln Review podcast, thank you so much as well. And I just want to remind folks that, again, the governor's giving his 2018 State of the Commonwealth address tonight. WBUR will provide live coverage of that beginning at 7 p.m., so tune in. That's it for today. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.